Hey everybody, how you doing? Welcome back. This is episode 90 of the Libertarian Republican Podcast. I am your humble host, Chris. And this episode is going to be about diversity in the Republican Party. Now, because I think this is one of those things that I hear all the time, that especially around the issue of abortion, like, you know, the Democrats, every single Democrat thinks that the Republican Party is nothing but men, nothing but white men. It's the party of men who want to tell women what to do. Now, I've found that in the abortion issue, it's mainly a women's issue. Like, there are women who are really, really against abortion, and then there's women who are for abortion, and men generally don't really care that much. Certainly there are some men who are passionate either way, but for the most part, I think most men will just go along with whatever their wife or their daughters believe, you know, that kind of thing. Especially your wives, you know, our wives, happy wife, happy life kind of thing. But I hear that all the time, you know, the Republicans are against abortion because they're all a bunch of men who just want to order women around. And it's, you know, it's funny to me how they're just completely ignoring, particularly white men, and they're just completely ignoring all of the women who are anti-abortion. You know, I mean, they're just completely ignoring them and they're pretending they don't exist. So I did a little research. And I wanted to go over some of the, this is actually really, it actually surprised me a little bit, not much, but a little bit, because here I am in Virginia, and I'm surrounded by, Virginia has 11 congressional districts. Republicans hold 4 of them. Democrats hold 7 of them. Now, of those 7 challengers, trying to get rid of those Democrats. A bunch of them are women. Let's see, 3 of them are women. One of them is a Hispanic woman. One of them is a immigrant from the former Soviet Union, Karina Lipsman. She's here in my district, the 8th district. And the other three more are men, and they're all, there's a Korean guy, a black guy, and a Vietnamese guy. So of the 7 challengers, one of them is a white guy, and the rest are either women or minorities. And in some cases, both. So that's what I'm surrounded. So it doesn't really surprise me, but I think it's going to surprise. This is one of those things I think that we need to know about. Republicans need to know this stuff. So you can, when you're, like I always say, when you're at a cocktail party and you're cornered and you've got a bunch of Democrats, a bunch of liberals telling you that the Republicans are the party of white men and they're all just a bunch of racists and white supremacists, it's probably a good idea to have this stuff at the top of your head, on the tip of your tongue. So basically, this is just the challengers for the House of Representatives this fall. Okay, and this is just the challengers. This does not include the incumbents, and it does not include states that have not done their primaries yet. So there's a lot of states like New York and Florida. They haven't done their primaries yet. A lot of states. So this is just the states where they've done their primaries and they know who, they've gone through the primaries are over, and they know who the candidates are going to be. Okay, so of these challengers, 35 of them are women so far. That's just the challengers. Okay, and that's just the ones we know about that we know are going to be on the ballot in November. Okay, there's a lot more out there, but 35 are women. 10 of those women are Hispanic women, which is a huge, gigantic hawk just flew by me. But 10 of these women are Hispanic women. which is, and that's not including, you know, like Myra Flores, who's already, she's an incumbent from down in Texas, and there's a few others, but three of those women are black women. Two of those women are immigrants from the Soviet Union, including the one in my district, and Angela Grabowski in Indiana. Angela Grabowski, from an immigrant from the Soviet Union, which I think is interesting. You know, when you've got immigrants from the Soviet Union, I don't know if there are very many immigrants from the Soviet Union who would join today's Democrat Party, because like I always say, the Democrats are communists, total communists. But so this is, so 35 women, 10 are Hispanic, 3 are black, 2 are immigrants from the Soviet Union. And among the men, you've got, this is just the challengers, you've got eight black men running as Republicans for the House of Representatives this fall. So far, 6 Hispanic men and 1 Chinese American, 1 from India, Indian American, 1 from Vietnam, 1 of Korean descent, 1 of Pakistani descent, and 1 from of Filipino descent. So this is really interesting. I mean, that's an incredibly diverse group of candidates, and that's just in the challengers, not including the incumbents, and that's not including the states that haven't done their primaries yet, like New York and Florida. There are Hispanic, there are more Hispanics and black and Asian candidates out there. And actually, there were a bunch that didn't make it through the primaries too. So, which is interesting to note too. So I think that this is just a little argument that we can have in our back pocket. And I think this is one of the things that and this is a real change too. You know, I think this is a change, and it's not just a change in the Republican Party. I think it's a change, you know, the demographics are changing in general in America. And it shows you that no one group is a guaranteed vote. It's a guaranteed vote. And I think that we have to be the Republicans have to be very, very solid on philosophy and on policy. You know, it's really easy. The Democrats are very good at happy talk, vague happy talk. I mean, that's what they're experts in vague happy talk, right? We're gonna save the planet. Hey, everybody, we're gonna save the planet. Hey, everybody's gonna get free healthcare. Free healthcare, everybody. You know, they're really good at that kind of stuff. But you gotta look at the nuts and bolts of, well, what does that mean? What does free healthcare mean? Well, it means, I mean, what should we have? Free shoes? Should we have free food? Should we have free cars? Should we have free shirts? Free pants? You know, why is this different? Why is healthcare different? And is it a good idea to have to just put the government in charge, and the government's going to like ration out your healthcare to you? And we can go into that. Obviously, I've done some episodes on that issue, but this is, I think that when Republicans stick to the real issues of controlling government spending, reducing bureaucracy, reducing the government bureaucracy, reducing the number of government bureaucrats. I talked about this in my last episode, abolish the FBI, how America is full of, the American government is full of absolutely useless bureaucrats who don't really do anything that we need them to be doing. And we pay them a lot of money, and that's where so much of our money goes. And the military is the same way. It's a bloated bureaucracy. It's too big. The red tape that the government throws in front of us, it stifles economic activity. It stifles job creation and business creation. And the regulations about energy obviously makes us dependent on foreign countries. It raises the price of everything, because when you essentially outlaw inexpensive energy, that just means we're all going to have to buy expensive energy, because we're not going to use less energy. We still need energy. We still need to get from point A to point B. We still need to heat our homes and cool our homes and cook, and we still need to do all that stuff. So if we can't do it with inexpensive energy, we're just going to have to do it with really expensive energy, which is going to make everything more expensive. It's going to reduce our standard of living. If we can stick to open borders, Democrats are for open borders, even though now like they're trying to sort of claw back. Joe Biden saying he's going to finish portions of the wall, little gaps in the wall. But that's just to save Mark Kelly in Arizona. That's all that is. It's just a naked, blatant political move. And it doesn't make any difference anyway, because what good is a wall if you're just going to let people in through the door anyway? Oh, well, now we have this great wall, but there's a door. Just knock on the door and we'll let you in. No problem. So what's the point? So it's not a change in policy. It's pure politics. So, you know, all that kind of stuff. If we can stick to good policy and good philosophy, then we can bring anybody into this party. But we, obviously, Republicans have to be consistent. And I think historically, that's been a problem. Republicans have not been the most consistent. Whereas Democrats are pretty consistent. They're communists, and they're very pretty consistently communist. So, all right. So that's it. But my point here of this episode is the Republican Party right now is very diverse. This group of candidates that we're seeing this November is very diverse, and this is just some of them. This is just like I said, this is just some of them. We haven't finished all the states yet, haven't gone through all their primaries. So anytime anybody tells you that the Republican Party is just the party of white men, just listen to this, you know, show them this episode, or you can do this research yourself. You can look at some of these names. You know, go to your, I'll post this on my, on Getter. I'll post these on Getter and Truth and Twitter, and so that you can see some of these. So you can see these names. You can go and you can research them. You can find out and support them. You know, and I'm not saying that support them just because they're women or just because they're Hispanic or Black. If you don't like them, don't support them. But you know, even if they're, remember, it's a lot of work to run for Congress. It's a lot of work. And some of these candidates know that they have a very slim chance of winning. You've got to do it anyway. Even if you move the needle in your district a little bit, it might take two or three or four or five election cycles to flip your district. But if you can move the needle a little bit every time, you can make some progress. So that is the goal, I think. That's the overall goal. But you gotta, you know, like the old proverb says, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. So, okay, that's it. That's episode 90. And if you like this episode, if you like this podcast, give me some good ratings on iTunes and Podbean, and go and share it on Getter and Truth and Twitter and Minds and Sovereign and Parlor and Gab and wherever else. I'll post it all over the place. And I will see you on the next one. All right. Bye-bye.